Next stop, World Series. Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. Hour number two. Scraby says there's plenty of room on the bandwagon. Really, nobody was on the bandwagon until about 2.5 weeks ago. But it's getting crowded now. Padres rally with 3 in the ninth. And then Robert Suarez coughs up 1 in the bottom of the ninth. But hangs on. 25th save. Padres over Pittsburgh 7-6 today. Padres get a little lucky, for sure. They blew a 4-0 lead. They were trailing 5-4. Loaded the bases on an infield hit and 2 walks in the ninth. One out. Kyle Higashioka hits a double play ground ball to second base. They throw to short for the first out. The return throw by O'Neill Cruz to end the game is wide of the bag by, like, a lot. Like, it wasn't really close.
No, it's hard to believe that a professional can throw a ball.
No kidding.
Outside.
My goodness. And Padres score 2 runs on the error. Luis Arraez follows with an RBI double. And before you know it, the Padres have another come-from-behind victory. Just one afternoon after they came from behind with a run in the ninth last night. And then went on in extra innings to beat the Pirates. They finish a 3-game sweep, their first in Pittsburgh in 13 years. Jackson Merrill is heroic last night with the 2 home runs, including the tying home run. And, you know, look, the Padres have it going on. Manny Machado hit a 2-run homer early today. David Peralta almost hit one into the Allegheny River. Off the top of the fencing out there behind the seats in right field. But the Padres would cough up that 4-0 lead. I wasn't, you know, given notice that Carl Edwards Jr. had been called up to the major leagues to replace Alec Jacob.
It happened right before the game.
No kidding. So out in the sixth inning, Vasquez, who had pitched shutout ball until then, gets into a little trouble. Run scored, couple of guys get on. And here comes Carl Edwards Jr. And I'm like, who's that? Well, I mean, I know who it is.
Yeah, he used
to pitch for them. But
when did he become a part of the team?
When was he on the ball club? They sent Alec Jacob down. And Carl Edwards Jr. walked 2 guys, gave up a hit. Anyway, next thing you know, it's a 4-3 game. Manny makes a great play.
An incredible play.
On a dribbler with the bases loaded by Isaiah Kiner-Falefa that would have tied the game against almost any other third baseman in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
But Manny came in and threw him out. They keep the 4-3 lead. Then Mike Schilt, surprisingly, I'll say, rather than inexplicably, but surprisingly stays with Matsui in the seventh with a couple of right-handed batters up. And Joey Bart takes Matsui deep for a 2-run homer. Just like that, Pittsburgh leads 5-4. But the Padres erased it in the ninth with that 3-run rally. San Diego has now scored in the ninth inning in 7 of its last 8 games.
Really?
That's a lot of drama and a lot of clutch and a lot of, you know, things going on that are, you know, good for your ball club. Padres are only 1-for-8 today with runners in scoring position, et cetera, et cetera. I will say this. I don't like dumb baseball. All right? Mm. I don't. You know that.
Yeah, yeah.
And what is my
number?
Where
are you going with this?
What is my number one pet peeve?
Base running?
Dumb base running. In the ninth inning.
Oh, we talking Joey Bart?
Joey Bart, what are you doing?
Oh, he was trying to make him. He was trying to make a play.
Why?
I listened to Jesse and Scan on the radio.
But do you get it? They're down 2 runs. His run means nothing.
I get it.
He needs to be on base so that the next guy can maybe tie it with a home run. He doesn't need to try to stretch a single into a double.
100%
get it. It is so stupid.
It is, and he's a catcher, and he's slow.
And he would have been out if the ball would have ended up in Luis Arraez's glove instead of rolling off to the side.
Scan said,
and the game would have been over.
Scan said that the way he read it was, well, first off, he said Joey probably shouldn't have run. But secondly, he said Jerks and Profar kind of slowly got to the ball.
I don't care.
And slowly 360'd. That's why he went. But it is a dumb move because it could have ended the game right
so
there.
So stupid. I cannot stand dumb baseball, even if it's the other team that does it. It just boggles my mind that these guys can make it to the major leagues and not be smart enough to know that with 2 outs in the ninth inning down by 2 runs, You do not try to stretch a single into a double, especially when you would have been out.
Do you think a manager comes back and says to him after
the
game?
I hope so.
Like, hey, I'm happy it worked out, but don't do that again.
I hope so. I mean, I guess you have to say something to Joey Bart because he obviously doesn't know. He's obviously stupid enough to try it in the first place. Oh, my goodness. I hate dumb baseball.
That was dumb baseball.
It worked out, you know, in the sense that he was safe. And, you know, the Pirates scored one run before Suarez got out of the inning. But anyway, that's the way it goes. I got to ask you
about Matsui first. Because I got a lot of comments about why is Yuki Matsui in the game? And you know, there have been certain times where Yuki Matsui hasn't gotten it done. But when I went back and looked at his stats, all three of his appearances in the month of August, he did not give up a run. And he didn't even give up a run before that until July 9th was the last time he gave up a run, an earned run.
Okay.
So where are we at with Yuki Matsui? Are we feeling good about Yuki Matsui or are we not feeling good about him?
Yeah, I think they're feeling all right about him, you know, right now. Obviously, they are. They stayed with him in the seventh inning when they should have gone to Jason Adam. And, you know, you have to believe me when I tell you that's not a second guess. That's a first guess. As I'm sitting there watching the game, I'm like, oh, good. Okay, base hit, two righties coming up. Here comes Jason Adam.
Yeah.
And then, no, here didn't come Jason Adam.
It is strange.
And so, you know, I disagreed with the notion right there. But here's the thing with Yuki Matsui. Coming into the game today, he'd only given up two home runs all year. So, you know, you're not thinking, if you're Mike Shildt, that he's going to, you know, give up, you
might
know,
give up a hit,
shot
but not
there.
A home run.
Right. Number one. Number two, you probably didn't have Tanner Scott available today. He threw a lot of pitches last night.
Yeah.
Didn't look great doing it.
No.
You had to save Suarez for the ninth inning. What I didn't get was why you don't bring Jason Adam in to get the last two outs of the seventh and then pitch the eighth. He didn't pitch yesterday. Jason Adam, I'm certain, is capable of getting five outs for you.
Let me look and see what he's
but
doing.
But they
year.
Didn't do it. And it almost cost him. What can I tell you? I didn't agree with a couple of things Mike Shildt did today. You know, it just goes to show when things are going your way, you can overcome, you know, some questionable managerial moves. You can overcome some, you know, some questionable plays.
Yeah, Jason Adam has gone two innings a few times.
Yeah, I just didn't get that. And it's the way Mike Shildt always goes. If you notice, he loves to bring a reliever in to finish out an inning and then start the next inning. He does it all the time. But he didn't do it today, and Joey Bart hit the home run off Matsui. And like I said, almost cost him the ball game. But you know, the way things are going now didn't cost him the ball game because, you know, Neil Cruz throws the ball into the stands.
I mean, I wonder if Mike Shildt was just trying to stay away from Jason Adam to begin with because they still have three games to play against the Marlins this weekend. The bullpen is still taxed.
I get that, but you can't. You got to go with Jason Adam. That's why he's here. This guy's capable of pitching, you know, 2 days out of three. He was, you know, he didn't pitch last night. It was a perfect opportunity to bring him in, get Bart, get the next guy, and then, you know, go into the eighth inning and, you know, finish out that game. But, like I said, last night they made more than a handful of mistakes, and they still won. And we couldn't say that about this team in April, May, and June. If they made any mistakes, it seemed like they lost because of those mistakes. Right now, they're just like shrugging them off. They're like, we don't care. We'll win anyway.
Same goes for comebacks. There was a period of this season where the Padres were going to the ninth down, and you're thinking, okay, this game's over. There's no way. But now I have to watch throughout the end of the game. It's just the game's not over with this team.
Well, you feel like they're going to win almost
you
every
do.
Game.
Yeah, and that's a different feeling.
Well, when you're 14 out of 16, you are winning almost
and
every game.
And when you are coming back and winning against teams, it makes you feel good about yourself.
Of course it does. It's a big deal. Look, the Padres, even before this hot streak, had, I want to say, a handful of wins earlier this season that gave you a feeling like something cool could happen.
It was this team is not last year's team.
Wasn't it 8-0 they came back against the Cubs?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Fernando hit that home run.
Yeah. You know, there was all those Washington games where Profar comes up and, you know, clears the bases with two outs in the ninth. I mean, they have had, what'd they have? 5 walk-off wins there in a span of 2 weeks? This is a team that had two walk-off wins the whole season last year.
Yeah.
So they've shown, even before this hot streak, that, you know, they're a gamer. They've kind of established that. And now it's really starting to pay dividends the way they're going right now. And, you know, if you look at this, 14-2. One of the losses in the 14-2 was in Baltimore. They were down 6-0 in that game.
Good point.
And they came back to 6-5.
Yeah, they made it a game.
And then Manny hit one to the track, and the guy, Mullins, I think, made a beautiful catch to save the day. And so they lost that one. The only other loss was to the Rockies, and we already know that, you know, the Rockies are a pain in the butt. But
they really are. That's it.
You know, that's it. Those are the only two losses on the whole ledger. So, you know, it's a great thing right now. And, you know, the Padres were 9-23 in one-run games last year.
It was brutal.
Today was their 15th one-run victory this year. So
brings a tear to my eye, Chris. Well, it does.
Last year was torture. Try not to sob on the air.
Last year was torture.
Try not to sob on the air.
And this year was torture, too. I'll try not to cry.
All right. Very good. Padres win. As noted earlier, they're only 2.5 behind the Dodgers. And if you really want to get greedy, and I do, they're only 4.5 games behind the best record in all of baseball now, which is the Phillies, who play in Arizona tonight against the Diamondbacks, who are almost as hot as the Padres.
Can I say that it's nice to see Kyle Schwarber crush a team outside of him crushing the Padres? He had three home runs last
night. Wasn't that nice? I will tell you, I really like Schwarber. And
why
is
that?
Because he can hit the ball a country mile. You've got to love a guy that can just step up and hit the ball over the moon. But you're right. It seems when he does it, most of the time it's against us.
Yeah, so, but three home runs against the Dodgers.
Well, he just annihilated them last night. And I will say this. Dave Roberts got ejected from that game last night. First time all year. And people might say it might be some frustration. Dodgers aren't going well. No. That was an awful call.
I don't get
what Hunter Wennelstedt, his dad was an umpire of pretty well, you know, thought of umpire back in the old days.
Okay.
Harry Wendelstedt. But Hunter Wendelstedt
run in the family.
Well, I know you love, you know, when people get stuff because her dad was something. I'm not saying Hunter Wendelstedt got it because of that. He's been umping a long time too. But that call last night was stupid. And what happened was they bunted. The Phillies did. And the Dodgers' third baseman came in to field the bunt, turned around, and threw to the shortstop. Rojas was coming over to cover third base. Well, as he's catching the ball, his foot landed in front of the sliding runner.
Mm.
And Hunter Wendelstedt ruled that it was obstruction. And it just wasn't obstruction. Rojas did not put his foot there intentionally to obstruct the runner. The throw took him there, and he caught it and tried to apply the tag. Dave Roberts lost his mind, and he should have lost his mind. That was a terrible call. I love it when it happens to the Dodgers, but you know, stuff like that kind of bothers me sometimes.
It bothers me too, because there is clearly a rule, and then all of a sudden the rule doesn't apply.
The rule says that it's obstruction if you intentionally put your foot down or leg or knee or something in front of the guy
to impede the runner from getting to the
bag. But he was not intentionally doing that. I don't understand where that call came from. It really hurt the Dodgers. And then Schwarber took care of the rest of the game. Because he was ridiculous. 3 homers, 7 RBIs. Mashing one ball deeper than the next. He can hit them a long way.
My Dodgers friends are very quiet right now.
Good.
Very quiet.
Yeah, well, keep it that way.
I know. I got to stop getting ahead of myself because the Dodgers still do lead the division.
Look, we're flying high right now.
We are, and we should be.
We should. We've won 14, you know, and 2. I mean, we should be flying high. All right, Daily Gambit when we come back. We'll take a look at some winners and losers and the rest of what's going on in sports on this Thursday after traffic on Gwen and Chris. All right, welcome back to Gwen and Chris. 3:21 is the time, Chris Ello. Matt Scraby together today in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn Jr. getting a little vacay before he settles in for the Padres stretch drive. We'll be on tomorrow. Short program will be on for about an hour tomorrow, but part of the show tomorrow will be a visit with Brian Hoying, the other guy acquired from the Miami Marlins in the Tanner Scott trade.
Should we ask him about that, or is that rude?
Well, he's playing in Miami tomorrow night, so it seems like it might be a sensible thing to
ask it. Well, yes, that would be a sensible
that
thing.
Part. Oh, you're asking
the other guy.
Oh.
Like, because I asked Michael King way back when, I said, how did it feel to be the guy in the Juan Soto trade? And he was like, I didn't feel like I was the guy. So I kind of felt weird about the question afterwards, not because of Michael King, just because of myself. But is it rude to ask him that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it is.
I wasn't going to ask in some derogatory way.
We know that Tanner Scott was the centerpiece of the deal.
Yes.
But, you know, to ask a guy, hey, you know, you're kind of an afterthought. How did it feel?
But he's not an afterthought. That's the thing. It's like, but I get it. It's a weird question.
Good luck with that.
That I will not be asking. I'm just telling you.
I'm trying to save you.
No, I'm not going to ask it.
You know, utter embarrassment.
Okay, it won't be an embarrassment. It would just be... Okay, it would be an embarrassment.
Yes, it would. Let's go to today's Daily Gambit, shall we?
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
A couple things I need to address here first before we get into Daily Gambit, our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. I would like to shout out Dominic right now, who is watching our show, Chris. Flying to the West Coast. Dominic is a Padres fan in Baltimore.
Yeah.
On the plane right now, watching the show. So thank you,
really,
Dominic,
he's above
very much.
He's above the earth somewhere.
Yes, he's 38,000 feet
I
somewhere.
Like that.
Dominic, if you know where you're at around the country, let me know, because I love that
he's
sort
probably,
of thing.
He's probably over Dubuque, Iowa.
He may be.
Of all places.
He may
right
be
about
waved
now.
To the fam down there, because they're probably still partying.
All right,
the
good.
Other shout-out I have is to Joel the Kid on YouTube. So... I was leaving my house today, and I got someone that said, "Hey, Scraby!" And I was like, "Oh, who was that?" Well, Joel the Kid.
It was Joel the Kid?
Joel the Kid said, "I love listening to your station. I'm always listening to YouTube." He was actually listening to the game as we were talking. So shout out to Joel the Kid.
And Joel the Kid is just a kid, obviously.
I don't know that he's a kid, because he's a bug person. Like a exterminator is what the word I was looking for.
Well, then why are you calling him the Kid?
That's his name on YouTube, Joel the Kid.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Okay, I thought
Joel
you were just he was. I thought he was just a youngster.
No.
So he was Joel
no.
the Kid.
It wasn't a 12-year-old spraying for spiders.
Know. I didn't know. Maybe.
Which, by the way, the spiders are really bad this year.
Causing
I'm
havoc?
I'm getting older by the second. Mm-hmm. All right, last thing. Or actually, no, let's just get right into it. I got to give myself a little pat on the back, because when I went to Iowa, I downloaded the DraftKings Sportsbook app. And I made some bets, Chris, much to your dismay. And I made a couple on the Padres.
So this is how much fun you were having at your family reunion. You decided that you needed to gamble in order to put a little fun into your life.
Yeah, I wanted to. Because we talk about it every single day. I wanted to use the app. I wanted to do some in-game betting. But I did a parlay, Chris. I put down $10 of my hard-earned money on this parlay. It was plus +650. This was for the game... Sunday game against the Rockies. So the Padres had to win on the money line, so that they did. They won 10-2. Matt Waldron had to throw over 5.5 strikeouts. He did. I believe he had 6.
Okay.
And then Manny, this was the hard part of the parlay. Manny needed over 1.5 hits in the game. So he gets his first hit in the middle of the game. I'm thinking... He came up again. I don't think he got on base. And I'm like, there's nothing going to happen here. I'm going to lose the parlay. Well, Manny, in the bottom of the eighth inning, got a second hit, cashed in my parlay. I won $75 on this parlay.
You
so I'm very proud.
You started with 10.
Yes.
And you finished with 75.
Now, total, what I came home with, if you can say that, I made some other bets and I lost all of them, Chris.
Oh.
I came home with $70.
You're not supposed to tell us about the ones you lost.
Well,
I'm an honest person. You're supposed to be like every other gambler out there. As far as you're concerned, you only win.
Because
I never hear about losses.
I will tell you my losses. We tell you our losses every single day. But this was actual money that I bet, so I finally won a parlay. And
all right,
it counted for something.
Please listen to the... listen to the guy who introduces this segment.
So please gamble responsibly?
Yes,
I got a little
carried
away.
Yes, you did.
I started making bets on Logan Gilbert and Zach Wheeler. I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah, well, that's what you get.
What am I doing?
That's what you get.
Anyway.
All right. By the way, we just have some fun making some picks here, but I will say this straight up. If you are betting on the two NFL preseason games tonight, call Gamblers Anonymous.
Yes.
You have a problem.
Yes, you do.
If you have to bet on a game that nobody who is playing in it cares who wins, you've got issues.
When nobody
so
knows...
So just look yourself in the mirror and say, wow, I bet like $200 on the Giants tonight in a preseason game. Just check yourself right in.
Yeah.
You've got a problem. If you need the action that bad, then you've got an issue. Don't bet on NFL preseason.
I will extend
Please.
That to betting on esports, which is video game sports.
Having said that,
let's make some bets.
Well, we can pick the games, and that's what we're doing. Giants are favored by 4 over the Lions. Tonight, preseason football. Now, these two teams have scrimmaged all week.
Oh, they've been getting fights.
And they've gotten into like 20 fights.
Yes.
So tonight actually might be worth watching. Do you care to pick either of these teams? I mean, how do you know who to pick?
I don't.
Nobody's playing in the game. It's the first preseason game.
I'll go with the Lions because they are getting points.
That's what I would do, too. New England 6 over Carolina. Again, I'm only doing this because at least it's hinting to me that football is coming.
Yes.
Patriots, Panthers. Panthers coming off the 2-15 season. I think they're going to have to, you know, show what they got tonight. I'll take the Panthers.
Oh, wow.
Plus
okay.
6.
Jeez, I didn't think that.
You taking New England?
Is it Gerard Mayo? Yes.
I don't know.
The coach of the Patriots?
I don't know.
Do I think that they're 6-point favorites?
I mean, should they be 6 points better than anybody? The Patriots? Tom Brady's long gone, right?
Yeah, I'm going to go Panthers.
All right. You said Gerard Mayo, very good New England coach. Name the Carolina coach for like 500.
I know this.
Alex.
I know this.
There's
he
no
came
way
from
anybody
Tampa.
Knows this.
He came from Tampa. He was a Tampa offensive coordinator.
Really?
Yes.
You know that much?
I do. I can't remember his... Is it Manny something?
Carolina. I'm typing
oh,
it
Oh, you
in.
Don't even know. You're asking legitimately.
No, it's not Manny anything.
But he was the Tampa Bay...
He might have been. His name is Dave.
Dave,
Oh, you think you got this?
Dave,
you don't got it.
Morales?
Kind of.
Oh, okay. I was somewhat close.
He's from Carson, California.
Oh.
And went to college at Azusa Pacific, just up the road.
What's he doing in Carolina?
Don't know, but he got a head coaching job. Makes his debut tonight. USA women's basketball, 17 points over Australia, semifinals tomorrow.
They've been cruising.
I'll take the Americans.
Yeah, I will too.
They're rolling. Tonight, Hunter Green against the Marlins.
He's been great.
7.5 strikeouts, over under.
I would have to think over.
Sounds like an over. It is the Marlins.
And he's been striking out everyone.
Phillies and Diamondbacks tonight. Phillies are favored by 1.5 on the road against the red hot Diamondbacks. I'm going to take the Diamondbacks. They're hot.
Yeah, the Phillies have not been great, as you've been pointing out throughout the show. Diamondbacks have been good.
Phillies did just take 2 of 3 from the Dyers.
I'm going to say Phillies.
Pitching matchup is Jordan Montgomery against Colby Allard.
Oh, yes.
Colby Allard is on a Phillies. So with that in mind, 10 runs over under. Sounds like some offense. I'll say over.
10 runs. Yeah, I will too.
All right, there we go. Some fun games to pick. But again, public service announcement. If you are wagering on one of these NFL preseason games, check yourself right in. You got problems. That's just crazy dumb to do.
I
know I'm speaking to a bunch of people out there right now that are like, Chris,
shush.
Shut up. Yeah.
Let me do my
betting. Let me do what I want to do.
But the problem with preseason is you just have no idea what's going
to
happen.
Yeah. I mean, I'll give it to you if you're betting a game and you've analyzed it and you think you know who might win or whatever. At least you're putting some intelligence into your selection.
Joel,
but this
kid
is like, this is a flip. You might as well bet on flipping a coin, which people do.
You do for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Joel the Kid says Hunter Green has been good for my fantasy team. So Joel the Kid's listening. He's proven that he was telling the truth.
I like Joel the Kid.
Yeah, me too.
I like his name.
Yeah.
All right, more Gwen and Chris coming up. I think our countdown is next. And along with our countdown, there was a crazy story that came out of the Olympic Games today that might even tip over into the political arena.
Oh, no.
I won't go there, but I'm going to just let you know what happened today.
Okay.
It's worthy of a note. It's coming up next when Gwen and Chris returns. All right, welcome back. Gwen and Chris, 3:38 is the time. Really interesting story at the Olympics today. We'll get into it as part of our countdown, which is Olympic flavored today. Chrisello, Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. We normally do the countdown on the Friday show, but tomorrow we have only an hour with you.
Yes.
So we're going to do it today. But before we get to it, Scraby, I want to remind everybody. Actually, I guess I don't have anything to remind anybody of.
What are you talking about?
I was looking ahead on my board.
Okay.
Well, I'll remind everybody anyway. If you love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine. Coronado, La Jolla, Petco Park. For dining or takeout options, visit spiroscuisine.com. The best. All right, check traffic, then countdown.
Wait, what about your news story?
I'm going to give it in the countdown.
Okay.
It'll be part of the countdown.
Okay.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Danik.
Still going to find the Home Avenue off-ramp blocked off of northbound 805, all due to a pole that got knocked down in an accident. Now, on the southbound side of the 805 El Cajon Boulevard off-ramp, there is a collision involving a motorcyclist. This could actually be blocking lanes on the main line of South 805, so just watch out for some confusion there. Further south on the 805 before the 54, stalled vehicle in the center divide. Eastbound King Freeway past College got an accident involving a motorcycle. That's blocking the right lane. Northbound side of the 163 just past the 5 T-vehicle accident over to the right shoulder. And they reopened Leucadia on-ramp to northbound 5 Coastline. They had that shut down for a bit, all due to an accident involving an overturned RV. Still going to find middle lanes blocked on northbound 15 Valley Parkway with a collision. I'm Kelly Danik with Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
It's now time for Gwen and Chris.
You think they're taking Little League Baseball seriously enough?
I do.
They have replay now in Little League games.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, can't miss a call in a Little League game.
No, it could change
everything.
Means everything. It does.
Yeah.
It does.
I don't know. We take life a little too seriously sometimes, but that's just me. Chrisello, Matt Scraby, Gwen and Chris, countdown. Top 5 events that we've enjoyed at this year's Olympic Games. Top 5 events that we've enjoyed the most at this year's Olympic Games. And among this, I'll give you the story that is going down today because it's part of one of my picks. You want to go first?
Oh, sure.
What's your number 5 event of this year's Olympic Games so far?
All right. I'll
give you the first crack.
Number 5.
Oh, gosh, Matt. Yes, I just said, oh, gosh, Matt, on the radio because I messed up. My number 5 is going to be something that you didn't see coming, Chris. And I wanted to get one of these random sports on there.
Okay.
But I sat down and started watching trampoline.
Trampoline?
And watched it for a good, solid 45 minutes.
Enjoyed the trampoline.
It's really awesome.
I missed it.
I got to say, it's awesome.
How high off the trampoline do they get?
20, 30 feet.
Three stories up in the air?
Yeah, it's crazy.
No, come on.
It's
30
crazy.
Feet?
And then they do crazy
They get as high.
Things.
Okay, they get as high as the 10-meter platform in diving. They get that high off the ground in the trampoline.
Yeah. And then when they land, they do the same thing everybody does. They try to like take the spring out of the trampoline. It's just, I was watching this thing. This dude was doing twists and turns like I've never seen before. And I had a really good time watching trampoline.
Trampoline.
Yeah.
Number five. It's,
yes.
All right, number five for me, this is more surprising than trampoline. I even surprised myself by enjoying this.
Okay.
Synchronized swimming.
You talked about this yesterday.
I did. They have come miles and miles in synchronized swimming from the days when they just raised an arm out of the pool to doing twists and throwing people up in the air. And would you say moonwalking underwater?
They did. They absolutely did it. I don't know how they did it.
They have so many. Their moves are amazing. Synchronized swimming is like a whole new. It's a whole new animal. It's nothing close.
Chris is like really impressed.
Really impressed because I was expecting, you know, just the same old. Do you remember when they first came out with it and they had those
nose
little
plugs
that plugged their nose and they kind of looked silly. They don't even have that anymore. They've moved past that.
What do they have, like wax up their nose now?
I don't know what they do, but they don't have that ugly, you know, deterrent. But they did the moves that they make.
I like how they cover it too, because
really
they cover
impressed.
It. The camera angle is halfway in the water, halfway out of the water, and you can see everything that's going on under the water, which is almost incredible, or as incredible as what's
they
going on.
They toss some
of the
lady
water.
Out of the pool with
and
a back
twist.
I know. It's good. Synchronized swimming. It's not your mother's synchronized swimming.
It's not your
really,
mother's synchronized
really come
swimming.
A long way.
I like that one. That's a good one.
Four.
My number four is something that I usually love to watch during the Olympics, but this year was even better. Did you see the Turkish sharpshooter, Chris? That I can't
I
even say his name. Turkish sharpshooter.
No.
He
is this
It's a pistol event. Okay. And this dude, everybody has these like crazy glasses where you have like magnifying glasses on your glasses.
Right.
And you look like some super villain. This dude just wore his regular glasses, and he shot with his hand in his pocket like he was just down at the shooting range on a Sunday afternoon.
And knocking out
And he
bullseyes.
Was cool, at cool, calm, collected, and this dude was kind of a star. I really appreciate the shooting because it's just fun to watch, and those people are so good at shooting. But the that specific event with the guy from Turkey, big fan of his.
The cool dude from Turkey.
Yes.
Did he win an award medal?
I believe he did.
Good.
I should know. But
cool guy from Turkey on the shooting.
Yes.
All right, number four for me was the men's 1,500-meter race, which was won in dramatic, thrilling, like jump-off-the-edge-of-your-couch fashion by Cole Hocker of the United States of America. I don't know if you saw the race.
I did not.
The 1,500 meters. You had the two big favorites. One guy was from Norway. The other guy was from Great Britain. Nobody was going to beat these guys. They were out there. Basically, the 1,500 meters was to see who the best was between those two guys.
Okay.
And the guy from Norway had the lead the whole way. And on the last turn, the guy from Great Britain passed him and, you know, raced by him. It looked like the Great Britain guy had it. Lo and behold, on the inside, right along the rail, came this American, Cole Hocker, who was only the second best American in the race.
Wow.
And it was like the Great Britain guy was looking over one shoulder. Cole Hocker snuck through on the rail and nipped him at the wire to get the gold medal. It was awesome. And he set the Olympic record by doing it. The guy from Great Britain said, hey, you know, applause to him because I would have set the Olympic record had I won. So he had to beat that. It was they called it like the upset of the Olympic Games. It was really something.
I got to go back and see that finish.
Watch that finish. Cole
I'm going to talk about a race finish when you get to your little thing later. But that's a good one.
Yeah, it was a good race.
By the way, the Turkish shooter, he won silver as a part of the Turkish team, not in a solo competition.
He was a team winner.
Yeah, but here's a picture, Chris, of him. And this is the other guy to the left where he has these like crazy glasses on, and then he just has regular reading glasses.
And did he really have his hand in his pocket?
He did.
His other hand in his pocket?
He did.
He was like Mr. Cool.
Mr. Cool, calm, collected.
All right,
my number three is something that I wish I could do. Like, if I could say I want to be good at something maybe for a day.
Okay.
Skateboarding. I love skateboarding.
You like the skateboarders.
I love the tricks that they do. I love all the skating. I'm a big skateboard fan. I watch skateboarding videos. In high school, I tried to be a skateboarder. Probably the worst skateboarder on the face of the earth. So I can't do it, but I love watching skateboarding, and I watched a lot of it in the Olympics.
When I was in high school, I was a year ahead. My mom graduated me ahead when I was young.
Okay. Oh, we have a genius in the room.
If that's what you want to call me, go right ahead. I'm not going to stop you. But my point is everyone was driving when they were, sophomore or a junior because they were 16 years old. I was not.
Oh.
So in order to get places, I skateboarded.
Were you
Can you
good?
Believe that? Me?
No, I cannot believe
I
that.
I couldn't do a single trick, but I could get from point A to point B. My skateboard took me everywhere back in the day.
Wow. You were good at it, huh?
A little surprising to
like,
you.
Like, just didn't fall? Because one time I fell so hard, I never did it again.
No, I was moved along nicely on my skateboard back in the day.
All right. What was your number three?
Number three for me was the walking.
The fast walking.
I'm just the fast walking. there's nothing funnier than watching these guys waddle around the Eiffel Tower. I don't know what it is. It makes me laugh.
Yeah.
The elbows are waving, the knees are going, the hips are swiveling, and they're just cruising along. And as I mentioned yesterday, the guy who wins walking gets the same medal as the decathlon champ, so why not walk? Why be in a hurry?
I think in Malcolm in the Middle, do you remember that show?
I do, but I didn't
Bryan
see it.
Bryan Cranston's character got into fast walking for a little bit.
He did. Yeah. That's great.
He did. That's a good one because those are fun to watch as well.
The walking.
Number two.
Now, number two, I got to tell you, Chris, I was betting this morning and I almost put down $50 on Scottie Scheffler to win the gold in the golf event. Mm. He was plus 900. Didn't do it because I listened to my inner self, but I should have because Scottie Scheffler won the gold with a 62 on Sunday. Because we were 2 hours ahead, I got to watch all of the golf. Like, the golf was in prime time where we were, and I watched each round.
I didn't see much of the golf. I was following it, though. I know Schauffele had the lead going to the final round. Scheffler shot a 62, and then in true Olympic, what makes the Olympics is when they played the national anthem and Scheffler just broke down.
Yeah.
Then you're talking about one of the most steely-eyed competitors in all of sports, but when he heard that anthem playing for him, it meant something.
He was reflecting on his year of being arrested.
You think that's
the PGA
what it was?
Championship.
He had quite the year.
He did have Scheffler. Quite the year, but yeah.
Quite the year.
The golf was really good.
Really good. It was a good tournament. Good tournament.
Yeah.
Number two for me was the table tennis. I really liked I'm telling you, man, these guys play incredible table tennis and the gals. The rallies are sensational.
They are.
The serving when they toss it up and they spin. I can watch that all night. And I did a couple of nights.
Really?
Enjoyed a couple of the table tennis. Yeah, I don't have to know any of the competitors.
No.
Just enjoy watching that sport. I guess maybe one of the reasons I like it is because I can play table tennis, but not like that. Like, it's a whole different thing, what they're doing out
there. I mean, I don't even know how they do it. Right. They're like machines. The thing is moving so fast.
And they're hitting the table. I mean, the table's not that small, and they're having no trouble. All right, number one, are we going with the same thing here?
No.
Number one. Oh.
I think, I'm going to go with swimming. I don't know why.
Swimming
I love
you.
Swimming in the Olympics, and it's been fun to watch, like, because they have the new graphic that tells you how fast they're swimming.
I found that
very interesting because you can tell when someone's, gaining on another person, but I also found it interesting when they dive in on the first lap, they're way faster than when they come back, which makes sense.
Unless you're Katie Ledecky. She just goes the same speed no matter what.
I also saw a video of Katie Ledecky swimming with a glass of milk on her head, and she did the freestyle all the way there, all the way back, and she didn't spill one drop of milk. That's incredible.
It was chocolate milk.
Chocolate milk, sorry.
Correct.
At least I got this.
I saw the same video.
Okay.
All right, number one for me.
Did it impress you as much as it impressed me?
It did. Okay. I liked it. Number one for me was the 100 meters and the finish.
Yes.
And Noah Lyles leaning to win the gold medal over the Jamaican guy. Just incredible. I mean, I like the 100 meters to begin with, but to have a finish like that, people will remember that forever.
Yeah, that was crazy.
It was awesome. So that was my number one. But that is what leads me into my story today.
Yes.
And we got a couple of minutes for it.
We do. Can I get some, real quick before you go into that, can I get some honorable mentions from the chat?
Yeah.
Jacob says climbing. A lot of people.
Oh, I heard about the speed climbing.
That's what I told you about yesterday.
Yes,
that was incredible.
They, Peter Parker, their way up the yes. the board.
We got some equestrian. I saw an equestrian, which, by the way, some of these views in the Olympics were amazing. The equestrian, you had Versailles behind, and then the cycling, you had the Eiffel Tower.
I like that, but equestrian does just. I can't. Sorry.
Yeah.
If you show me a horse, put him at Del Mar. Just don't make him jump over steeples.
And last
stuff.
One is breaking, which hasn't started.
I don't
yet,
think breaking has even started
no,
yet.
So
I
we haven't seen it, but it might shoot to the top of my list. Who knows?
Who knows?
Anyway,
all right. Here's the story on Noah Lyles that I think is going to be, you know, going to be create some controversy if nothing else. And if you don't want to know what happened in the 200 meter Olympic final in the race, you want to watch it tonight.
Turn off the radio for 2 minutes.
Yeah, turn off the radio for 2 minutes. But Noah Lyles went for the double. He got the 100 in that great race. Today went for the 200. He finished third today. He got the bronze medal. But here's the story that is going to, I think, create some controversy. Maybe I'm wrong, and hopefully I'm just wrong and it goes away, but it won't. He told reporters afterwards he ran the race with COVID-19. Yeah. He had it. He tested positive for it 2 days ago. And he's had COVID ever since Tuesday morning. He woke up feeling the chills. You know, that's when I had it. That's what I had.
I gave you.
You gave me those chills. But he had the symptoms. He went and got tested. He tested positive. I'm just saying there's a lot of people probably somewhere that are going to say, why in the world was he even allowed to race? Who allowed this to happen? You have COVID. You're supposed to shut down, stay away from the rest of the world.
I don't know if that's the thing anymore. I would have to look into their COVID procedures.
Yeah.
Because this does sound like it is against some sort of rule.
Doesn't it seem like there's somebody somewhere who's going to be upset by this?
We haven't had a COVID test positive. Let me start that over, Chris.
Okay.
We haven't had a Major League Baseball player test positive for COVID in a while, so I don't know what they would do. I mean, they would remove him from
yeah,
the team,
I can't imagine, you know, even in this day and age, you know, 4 years after the whole pandemic, but I can't imagine if, I don't know, Jerks and Profar tested positive for COVID somehow, he'd be in the lineup.
Yeah, I can't imagine that
so
either.
So this guy ran for the 200-meter medal and had COVID. Anyway, I'm going to leave the whole political thing to the rest of you out there. You guys go ahead and fight that over.
No, it does.
I'm just imagining there's going to be somebody somewhere who isn't thrilled by this. And then there's other people who are going to say, what's the big deal?
There could also be people in the race that are like, hey, I am, you know, I don't handle COVID, or I'm not a good person with COVID.
Right. It's a very dangerous thing in, you know, for me or my family or.
I'm going to learn how to talk on the break, Chris.
Would you please?
Yes.
Chris versus the fans is next. 833-288-0973. Play some trivia. You could be headed to Las Vegas.